Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal, now at a new time. If you're listening to the show for any length of time, we used to be on Thursday evenings. We've now moved to Sunday afternoons, so I hope that you all were able to find us and able to find time to listen, because I think this is going to be even a better time for people to able to listen to the show, and at least that's what I'm hoping. But at any rate, I hope you were able to catch the show last week when I had on a very interesting lady. Her name was Sheila Applegate, and she's actually a psychic medium who does channeling. She channels ascended masters, including Isis and Magdalene and many others, and wow, she had some really interesting things to say, some very, very spiritual things, and she actually did a channeling during the show. Towards the end of the show, we had a little mini channeling there, which, and she gave some really very, very interesting messages. Quite a very, very interesting lady. I have to tell you, she has a lot of knowledge to share, and a really high energy and vibration. So check it out. Remember, all the shows are archived on the BBS website. Now, tonight, I'm bringing on a guest who I've actually had on a show in the past, a while back, to talk about her UFO experiences, which were extraordinary. And if you look into the archives and get a chance to listen to it, her name is Anne Witherspoon. And she's had some remarkable UFO experiences, which stretch back to her childhood and have continued for quite some time, including some face-to-face visitations. This is not something that's recalled out of hypnosis or anything like that. It was a fully conscious encounter with a gray-type ET who actually had some very interesting and profound messages to impart to her. So, yeah, check it out. But tonight we have her back on again to talk about something else. Turns out that a lot of the people I've interviewed, and I don't know why this is exactly, who have had extraordinary UFO encounters, I've also had some really amazing encounters with ghosts. I think there's some type of connection there. Maybe the ETs are attracted to people who have a higher awareness. That's one of my theories, at least. Maybe they somehow activate this ability in people. I don't know. There is some link there. I can't quite figure it out. But this is what we're going to be talking a little bit about tonight. Anne has had some remarkable ghost experiences, which she has agreed to share with you all, so I want you all to welcome onto the show again, Anne Witherspoon. Anne, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I'm really glad. I know it was kind of last minute, but
oh yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
Your ghostly encounters are amazing. I've heard.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of them, but I've got a good one for you. So you want me to set the scene a little bit?
Well, yeah, if you could just first tell us a little bit about who you are and, how you came involved in this kind of stuff, and do you believe in ghosts before this happened?
Yeah. So, I'm not sure that I did, for sure, but this was 1983 in Hamilton, Ohio, a place called Mercy Hospital. Which unfortunately is no longer there, the hospital, not the town. So if anybody wants to look up Mercy Hospital Hamilton, they can. I worked on a floor called Four North, which was orthopedics, broken bones, replacement hips, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I worked, I hate to say it, we called it the graveyard shift, which was 11 p.m. to 7:30 a.m. And we would do our report from 11 to 11:30, and then start on the floor at 11:30. And we were doing what we called first rounds, which is you got to check in on everybody, do their vitals, see if they need pain medicine, that kind of thing. And we had a short haul and a long haul. I was coming down the end of the long haul, and so it was several steps to the desk. And I knew I had to get something, medicine or something. And this man came out of a patient's room and started walking down the hall beside me. And he was in a brown, I guess you would call it friar's robe or a monk's robe. You know, and since it was a Catholic hospital, I thought nothing of it. You know, because it's not unusual. It wasn't all that late, you know. And it wasn't unusual to see a nun or a priest or somebody around, you know.
Sure.
And so he didn't say anything. And, you know, we're walking along and I can hear his robe swishing, you know, as he's walking. Or as we're walking. And as we got close to the desk, I kind of trotted up in front of him a little bit because I thought, well, maybe he wants to leave a message for someone. Maybe he, you know, might even want to see a patient's chart or something. I didn't know, you know, and I hadn't worked there very long. And as I got up to him, and, of course, the lights were a little brighter there at the desk than they are out in the hall, and I could see he had the white waist piece on and the gold chain and the cross hanging down on the left side. And the cross was large. It was probably maybe 5 inches long by 3 inches wide, very large.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it was reflecting the light, you know, for the hall lights, you know.
Sure.
And my first clue that all was not well was I was looking directly or trying to look directly at his face to say, you know, good evening, sir. Can I help you with anything? You know, did you want to leave a message for someone or something like that, you know. And there was just this. He did have his hood up, by the way. But it was maybe just back from where the forehead would be because there was just a black space there, you know.
Right.
And I did see his hands, but I'll get to that in a minute. So here's this black area here, and I'm going, well, you know, this is kind of strange, you know. It was a little unnerving, and but, you know, at a time like that, you know, and I've heard other people say this too, you know, your brain isn't letting you process what you're seeing here. You know, you need a few more hits before you can come to grips with it, you know. So I said, okay, you know, and that's when he, because he had been facing me, so then he turned to, let's see, I guess it would have been his right, and we had kind of an older floor there, so all the rooms had bathrooms, but not a lot of them had showers. So we had what we called shower rooms right there by the desk.
Right.
And that's all they had in was a shower and that. That's for the patients to, you know, for prior to surgery. And so here he goes through the closed door of the shower room, you know, and I'm standing there and I'm going, okay, I didn't just see that, did I? You know, he walked into the shower, you know, because I'm still not getting what's going on here. And so I opened the door, I turn on the light, I look at, of course, there's no one in there, you know, and I said, okay, you know,
wow.
I guess I've seen something unusual here. So I just turned off the light and closed the door and didn't think anything more about it, you know. I didn't tell anybody, needless to say. I thought, well, I'm a new employee here. That's what I need to do is tell everybody I've seen a ghost, you know. Oh, my. So,
no, you couldn't
but
see his face
I did
at all?
See his, please?
You couldn't see his face at all?
No, no, not at all. There was just a blacked out area there where a face should have been, you know, because like I say, he had his, towel up, but, you know, it wasn't that, it wasn't hanging over his face or anything. It would have stopped just on the top of his head, I think. So I could have seen his forehead and a little bit of his hair and all that.
Sure.
Had he chosen to allow me to see that, you know. But I did see his hands, and they were Caucasian. They were elderly. Because I could see, you know, wrinkles at his knuckles and all. And his hands looked swollen, like maybe with arthritis or something. Because he didn't look that tubby. But, of course, those robes, you know, you can hide a lot under there, I guess. But, you know, just thinking, you know. So I have wondered in later years if that wasn't Padre Pio. You know, because at the time I knew nothing about him. I was raised Protestant. And so I did not even hear about Padre Pio until, I don't know, it was probably maybe 10 or 15 years later, you know.
Huh.
And I don't know that that was him for sure, But, you know, because it could have been somebody who had worked there at one time or something. But he did come out of a patient's room, and I'm thinking, you know, because I have heard that he does that, you know, goes to patients' rooms and prays for them and blesses them and that. And and I've just wondered if maybe, you know, that was him.
Was there anybody in the room that he came out of at the time?
Yeah, there were. That would have been a, let's see, was that a private room or a semi-private? Kind of hard to remember now, but yeah, there would have been at least one person in there. So, yeah.
I don't suppose you found all the space. Remember seeing anybody?
No, I didn't. I didn't mention it to anybody because I thought if I do, they're going to think I'm Looney Tunes or something, you know. So yeah, no, unfortunately not. But that's it for what it's worth, you know.
You don't know if other people saw the same ghost or not. I mean,
I had heard somebody say once. I think later that somebody saw legs up there, just legs. But I never saw anything like that. So. I don't know how credible that was.
Now,
because
Did he seem to react to you at all?
Yeah, he definitely did. You know, when I came up, you know, and trotted up in front of him to turn around and face him and say, you know, good evening, sir, you know, I was going to say something, but I hadn't quite gotten anything out of my mouth, you know, and I looked right at him. Where the face should be, if there wasn't one, you know. So, I'm certain that he knew that I was trying to speak with him, you know. And he did walk down the hall with me, side by side, you know, step for step, until I trotted up in front of him like that. So we walked together for several steps, you know.
Wow. And he walked right through a closed door?
Yeah, right through the closed shower door. Yeah, buddy. Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So,
Now, do you know how old the hospital is?
That I'm not sure about. I know they had a nursing school there. That was sometime in the 40s and 50s. So I know there was, I know they've been around that long. And, let's see. So somebody could probably look that up because I'm not entirely sure how long they were there, you know. You know, because I'm thinking it could have been somebody who worked there, you know, when they had the nursing school there or something, you know, but I don't know that a friar would have been teaching a nursing class, but you never know, you know. So I just wondered, you know, if it wasn't Padre Pio.
Maybe it was. I mean,
So.
Well, what about his clothes? I mean, were you able to? And how old did they look?
They looked.
What period of time?
Yeah, they looked relatively modern, I think. You know, it was the brown robe with the hood, and the white waist piece, and the big gold cross. And I didn't see his feet, so I didn't see what kind of shoes he had on. You know.
Right.
I've often regretted not being able to see his face, but I'm guessing that was his decision, you know. Nothing to impart at the time.
Not unique. There are a number of cases like that where people see what appears to be a solid person, but has no face.
I think I have heard of that too, you know, and because I'm certain he wasn't trying to do it to be scary, because there was nothing. You know, malevolent about him. It was just startling to look up where someone's face should be and there's nothing there, you know. But, yeah,
well,
this guy wasn't out to scare me. There's no way, you know. So, I think he was just being a little bit private, maybe, you know.
When you walked into the room to look for him, was this a big room? I mean, the shower room?
No, this is a little, maybe about the size of maybe a walk-in closet. You know, so it's just enough to have the bathtub, the shower, you know, a little stool for them to sit on, you know, and that's about it. That's about all that's in there.
No place to hide, then.
No. No, and no, it's one entrance, one exit, one door, you know,
That is weird. So you never saw him come out, then?
No, he didn't come out. He went elsewhere. After he entered the shower room, he went elsewhere, by unconventional means. And he was walking conventional for us, anyway.
He was walking at the exact level of the floor, not above it or below it slightly or anything like that. You know what I mean?
No. He was walking because, you know, I could hear his robe swishing. And he was not all that much taller than me. I'm about 5'1". I would say he was about 5'6" or 5'7". You know, so he wasn't extremely tall, so I don't think it was likely that he was floating, because I don't think I would have heard his robe swishing, you know, if he had been doing that. He was definitely walking.
You know, what's also interesting about your story is I've talked to a number of other people who have seen ghosts in hospitals, and of priests and ghostly nurses, and all kinds of ghosts are wandering hospital corridors, apparently.
Yeah, I would imagine so, you know. That's the only one I ever saw in about 5 or 6 years there, but, you know.
Really?
But, you know, when I do it upright, you know.
So, you kept working there even after that happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had just started. Yeah, I hadn't been there very long, so, yeah. So, I worked there until 88, you know, so, yeah, that was 1983, so.
Well, after that ghost walked into the room and you checked for it, did you stick around to see if he was going to come out or reappear, or what did you do?
Well, I think he would have if he was going to, because I know I had to do whatever it was I was going to do in the medicine room and then go back, you know, down the hall, you know, to whatever patient's room, you know, a few doors past where he came out of, you know. Because I was already starting back to the desk, and that was when, you know, he popped out of the room and walked down the hall with me.
Huh. Now, that's not the first ghost you've ever seen, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was.
Oh, it was?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So, when I do it upright. You know? So, I did see Sue's Soldier once, though. That was about a year ago.
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit about that. Maybe you could tell that story again as well.
This was the summer, and we had come back to her house, and I think I was going to take something into her spare bedroom, which is where she keeps her computer in that. And
now, for people who don't know, Sue is your friend.
Sue's a friend of mine, yeah, and she's been on the show, too.
Yeah.
And Sue Hutzel. She may be listening. I told her to listen tonight, so... So hi out there if you're listening. And anyway, I'm not sure what I was going to take something in there or something. And before I saw anything, I got the sense of presence, you know, that someone was in there and was like, oops, sorry, didn't mean to bother you, you know, that kind of feeling. You know, it wasn't anything scary or malevolent. It was just, you know, oops, this person is in here and I, you know, shouldn't pester them, you know. And then I looked over towards the computer, and I could see this man standing there. And he was shortish. I would say he was probably 5'4", 5'5". I didn't see him as solidly as I had seen the monk. I could see parts of him I could see pretty well, like his head, the back of his head. He had black hair. I could see he was wearing some kind of a shirt, you know, and that. And I could see this big red gash right up here. I guess it would be like maybe just below the neck and the breastbone, you know, and that up in here.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm thinking that's his wound, but I didn't know who it was at the time.
Did it look like a fatal wound?
I think it probably was, yeah. But I'll get to that in a minute, because he talked to me later in a dream, so I'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, his head was inclined toward the computer screen, which, of course, was not on. But I'm thinking maybe he was drawing information out of it anyway, you know, being non-corporeal and all. You know, I've wondered about that since then. If maybe he was, because he had his head inclined to the screen, and I'm thinking, well, if he died in Korea in the early 50s, you know, personal computers and all that were unknown.
Wow.
You know, and the computers they had took up entire rooms and all. You know, so this would be a fascinating thing, I would think, for somebody like him. You know, so
that's what I was thinking. Maybe he didn't even know what it was.
Yeah, I was thinking, well, maybe he was, you know, surfing the net a little bit or something, you know. So, know, without it being on, you know, as I like to say, by unconventional means. Mm. But anyway, I saw him, you know, for a few seconds, and, you know, I've said to Sue, you know, who do you know that's, you know, about 5'4" and black hair, and, you know, and she said, oh, that's, you know, what's his name again? I've forgotten. Because she knows his name, and I've got to look him up, too, sometime and see if we can find him.
Right, I think you mentioned it to me. I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank, too, and I know what it is. But anyway, she said that was him. I said, wow, that's cool. So, Dace, that's it, Brian Dace. And I don't know how to spell that last name. I don't know if it's D-A-C-E or maybe if there's some silent letters in there like D-A-S-C-H-E or something like that. It could be a lot of different things.
Right.
But anyway, I think it was either that night or the next night, he had me in a dream standing in Sue's kitchen, and she has this little kind of a window in the wall there where you can see into the living room. You know, some living rooms have that. And he had me looking at myself and Sue sitting on the couch talking about him, which is a little disorienting, you know, you know, to watch yourself watching yourself, you know, that was real strange. But he had me telling her that he had talked to me in a dream, which is what we were actually doing at the time. But he said... Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it? He said, Brian Dace, a soldier deployed, and 5,000 feet. And I'm thinking one reason he talked to me was he sounds like he must have been a paratrooper. And my dad was a paratrooper. He was with the 82nd Airborne in about the same time, 50, 51, I think was 2 years he was in. And so I'm thinking, you know, it's possible he might have even known my dad. They might have been in the same company or something, you know. It's difficult to say. Without knowing how to spell his last name, it's difficult to check up, you know.
Right.
But I'm certain this guy died in Korea. I'm thinking, you know, if he says he was deployed, you know, that means he was on a mission, on active duty. If he was at 5,000 feet, that's a mile up, or just about a mile up. So he would have been paratrooping in, you know, and I'm thinking he must have taken mortar fire or something right across the upper chest area here, because that's where I saw this big red gash, you know, that's what I'm thinking anyway. And so that's pretty much my experience with Mr. Dace, Sue's ghost.
And why is Mr. Dace haunting this Sue's house?
Well... They used to live in Mainville, and they used to go to the cemetery a lot. And I think he looked forward to her visits because she's sensitive. And apparently I'm a little sensitive, too. And I think at some point he came back home with her because her mother passed on, and she didn't have any way. She doesn't drive, you know.
Right.
And if you didn't know that, she doesn't drive. She didn't have any way to get over there anymore. And I think he missed that interaction with her, you know. So he just sort of came to live with her, so to speak, you know. And I know when Sue would watch old movies or something, you know, like World War II type movies and that, and, you know, he would say, yeah, we did that, or we had the Mae West or whatever. He said something about Mae West one night anyway to her. I wasn't there, but, you know, yeah, everybody knows what those are. So, I have to call them Dolly Partons or something today, I guess. Anyway, you know. So, anyway, that's my experience with Mr. Dace, Sue's ghost.
So neither of these ghosts were in any way malevolent or scary for you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, not at all. You know, he seemed like a really nice guy. You know, I think he was pretty young when he died, because I know Sue said he showed her in a dream... I think Hawaii, and he had this red sports car, and, you know, that he was tooling down the road in Hawaii, and I'm going, that sounds like a pretty near perfect life there, buddy, you know, so I'm sorry about your loss there, you know,
yeah,
so, yeah, you know, So I was thinking, well, you know, sounds like to me, you know, he had it pretty good before, I had to have a drink there, before, you know, he was drafted, you know, so.
And so you only had that one experience?
Yeah, that's just the two, unless you want to hear about the ghost cats. You know, I've had ghost cats for a while.
Yeah, ghostly cats are interesting.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, of course, this was when I had my house, so I had more room and everything. But, sometimes I would see them walk down the hall, you know, fully formed, you know.
Years after?
Probably closer to not long after, you know. But one of them, I think, moved here with me, one of my black ones, because I know he had passed on. And, of course, we had quite a few anyway. So what my husband liked to do is the room that we had for our computer room, we would leave the door open, but we would have a baby gate there. And that was pretty good about keeping the cats out because he didn't want them in there getting all over the keyboard and all that kind of stuff. So one time I was coming out of our room, and here comes this black cat through the baby gate, you know, and, or it's, you know, right through the baby gate, not over the top. I thought, well, he wasn't allowed in there in life. I guess he figures it's okay to go in there now, you know, look around and have a good time, you know. So, he was just sauntering out of there like, you know, it was nobody's business, you know. So,
and he looked solid?
He did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was one of the black ones. And let's see, I had a big yellow and white one, and I remember, I was sitting on the bed doing something. I was putting on some shoes. I don't know what I was doing, but I looked over towards the door, and here he was, you know. And I was thinking, what's a yellow cat doing in here? We don't have any yellow cats. You know, and then I finally realized, you know, I was looking at a ghost cat, you know. And he got up, and he walked on out into the hall and walked around the corner, and that's when I lost sight of him. But that was probably a good 30 seconds that I saw him, you know, just as plain as day, you know.
Looking totally solid?
Yeah, looking totally solid, yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Could you hear any of these ghost cats? Or have you ever felt them?
Yes, occasionally I have. Now, that was after I got here, and I had to have one put down, unfortunately. But one thing that he liked to do sometimes when I would sit on the couch, and he had long poofy hair, and he would like to walk past me and then pause and then have me fluff up the fur on his tail, you know. So sometimes I can still feel him brushing past me, you know, for me to fluff up his tail. Sometimes I don't see him the way I've seen some of the others, but I do feel him occasionally. And I know it isn't any of the other ones because I have five live ones. But, you know, because I can look down and see that there's nobody there, you know.
Right.
So,
does he feel solid when that happens, or is it different?
For a second or two, yeah. I can feel him on my hands and sometimes on my lower leg, you know.
Wow.
So one time, this wasn't too long because I've been here 18 months. This wasn't too long. This is probably the week I moved in. And I rolled back the shower curtain, and there was a big black cat sitting in there. So I think that was the same one that went through the baby gate, you know, because I didn't have any black ones at the time. I don't have any black ones now, so it couldn't have been any of the live ones, you know. And then of course, you know, right after that, he disappeared a few seconds later. But yeah, he was just sitting there in the tub, you know, happy as a clam.
Uh-huh. Now, have you ever seen them actually disappear, or do they always kind of like walk around the corner and then they're gone, or you know what I mean? Have you seen them disappear before your eyes? Or appear, for that matter?
Well, yeah, the black one did, yeah. The black one disappeared, yeah. Now, the one with the poofy hair, I've not actually seen him. You know, he has stayed invisible or whatever, but, you know, but I know he's here. And the black one that came out of the baby gate, he disappeared right after he came through the gate, you know. And the one that went around the corner, him I didn't see, you know, because I couldn't get up, you know, get my shoes on and all that, you know, and get around the corner in time to see him. But him I saw a good long time. I mean, for something like that, you know.
Huh. Has there ever been anyone else around? Or you know what I mean? I'm just wondering if you have, like, mediumistic abilities that where other people wouldn't be able to see this if this was there.
Oh, I don't know. It's, you know, it's a possibility, but I'm usually alone when this kind of stuff happens. So, you know, for the yellow one and the one that came out of the baby gate, my husband would have been in the living room, glued to the TV. And, of course, but, you know, for these other two, you know, I'm by myself now because he passed on, you know, a year and a half ago. That's why I moved. And
have you had any experiences with his spirit?
Oh, yeah, not physically, but I have a lot of dreams that he's in, you know, where he'll say things, you know. And I know I asked him one time, you know, about having fun things in heaven, you know. And my husband was an electronic geek, you know. And so one time in a dream, he showed me this little room that he has, and it had an entire wall filled with dials, gears, knobs, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And so he let me look at that for a little bit, and then he said, there are a lot of nice things like that up here, you know, or here. He might not have said up here, but I think he said here, you know. I'm going, wow, that's cool, you know, yeah. He was also a watch nut. He must have had 50 watches, you know, and he had a box of those sitting there, too, wrist watches, you know. So he's got his electronic stuff and he's got his watches. So that was one dream too. You know, so I'll have to get all those out sometime because I at least have the good sense to write them all down and keep them in a file. You know,
probably a good idea. Yeah.
You know, and then if I recover a memory or something, you know, I try to write all that down too. You know,
interesting people have so many experiences in their dreams. My father, he died recently, just a few months ago, actually, after a long illness. And,
yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
He died of lung cancer. And,
tell me about it. Yeah, it's how I lost my husband, so, you know.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. So.
Well, he smoked only, you know, as a young man, but for a little while there. But I just had this dream with him, you know, just maybe last week.
Yeah.
And he appeared, and I'm like, Dad, you know, you're dead, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he said, you know, I will never, ever smoke again. Told me. I'm like,
wow, that's cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you had
yeah, apparently they don't allow smoking up there. I don't know. about that.
But it felt a different from your normal dream. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
It's like you can sense the person's presence and their personality is totally there.
Yeah, and they look the same, they sound good, you know, except that they look better, you know. They don't look sick like they were when they were here.
Exactly.
You know, they look healthy and well, yeah.
Apparently that's a very nice place we're all going to.
Let us hope, so.
Well, I think, you know, the evidence for ghosts is some of the best evidence we have for life after death.
Yeah, for sure.
And clearly. This monk or whatever you saw and this soldier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, what other explanation is there than that?
Yeah, you know, especially when, you know, I mean, something like that was the furthest thing from my mind. I mean, I had just come on shift, you know, we had to see about everybody, do our first round, see about getting everybody bedded down for the night, you know, hopefully. And, because that's usually when they pick to fall out of bed and break their arm and stuff. That's another story. And, So that was the absolute last thing on my mind, you know, about, I'm here at night, I'm in the hospital, am I going to see a ghost, you know. I would never have thought of that, you know.
And never another ghost in all those years you worked there?
No, not that I've got maybe kind of a questionable from down in the kitchen. You know, I always call it questionable because I'm not entirely sure I saw anything. But whatever I saw, I said good morning to. You know, I look back up and there's nothing there. Because what they used to do, when the cooks would come in about 5 or so or 4, whenever they came in, they would do up a batch of coffee and they would let us come down and get cups of coffee because, you know, by 4 or 5, they get a little punchy, you know. So you need a little something to keep you going till the end of the shift. And I went and got coffee this one night and or morning, I guess. And I had him on the tray, and I was about ready to go, and I thought I saw somebody back behind the counter back there. You know, I said, good morning, you know, like that. And then I looked again. There wasn't anybody there. So, because this was definitely would have been a lady, you know, and I thought she had like a hairnet on her head, but, you know, the lights were kind of dim, and, you know, I had a lot of other things on my mind, because I thought, well, I got to get this coffee, get back up, because there's medicines at 6 and this and that, and, you know, the other shift will be coming in at 7 and so on, and, you know, there's stuff to do, you know. And so I always say that's questionable, because I think, well, you know, was that really somebody? Was it just lights and shadows or what? You know, whatever it was, it didn't say good morning back. So, you know, it was rude.
When you see one of those things, you question your sanity a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know. Yeah, because you think you see something, oh, good morning, you know. And it's not anything. You know, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. That's why I always say that was questionable, because, you know, I don't want to say for sure that it was, because I'm not sure still, even after all these years. So.
All right. Well, one lady I talked to, she was a nurse, and she had an experience at a hospital where this ghostly nurse kept disconnecting patients' telemetry boxes.
Mm.
And you know what a telemetry box is, right? Where it measures people's vitals and stuff like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People had actually seen this nurse, and she was dressed in a white hat and an older looking outfit.
Sure.
So they were able to date her to, you know, at some point to the, like, the 50s.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, when these outfits were there.
Uh-huh.
And this is another story of another hospital. A nurse told me that a bunch of nurses kept seeing this other nurse who would smoke cigarettes in the waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back then, the nurses were allowed to smoke inside the hospital.
Yeah, they were here up to about the time I left, too. So.
Really? Well, now that's all changed, but it sort of just brings verification to some of these events that you're able to know these kind of details.
So.
Fascinating stuff.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, as Alice used to say, curiouser and curiouser.
Well, have you had other psychic experiences? I mean, I know you've had a lot of UFO experiences, and we've talked about them.
Those are generational. They go back to my mother, and then I know my grandmother, because I can tell you a story about when my mom was a little girl, and she was about 7 or 8, and she told her mom that this little man had been talking to her through one of the house windows, and that he had been wearing silver clothes. That's the only clothes story I've got for you, because all the people I've seen have looked nude, you know, or they're wearing body suits or something, you know. I've never seen anything that really looks like clothing. But anyway, apparently she did. And she said, unfortunately, in later years when she talked to me about it, she couldn't remember what he had been saying, because that was the first question I had. Well, what did he say? You know, but unfortunately we don't know. That she was telling her mom about this, my grandma, and the only thing she said, and I always thought this was an odd reaction, but it's not if she was an experiencer too, which I'm certain she must have been. She said, don't tell your dad, he'll think it's Jess. Well, Jess was a son, you know, would have been mom's brother, and he had died of, I think, rheumatic fever. And Grandpa always felt guilty about it because he didn't think he was sick enough to need a doctor. So by the time they called one, there wasn't anything they could do. Jeff died. And Grandpa had to live with that the rest of his life. So, you know, if that's all she was concerned about, you know, don't tell your dad, he'll think it's Jess. You know, I keep thinking, that's an interesting reaction on her part.
Yeah,
you know, so you were talking about what outside the window? He had on what kind of gloves? You know, she didn't say anything like that. You know, because I'm thinking, you know, she must have known what was going on, you know.
As if she already experienced the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she would have, you know, experienced, you know, been an experiencer and, you know, and like that, so...
I wonder how far that stuff goes.
You know? Yeah, I have no idea. To my grandma, I know, you know. So, so it's just, I have no, you know, I have no way to talk to anyone else, you know. That's, you know, because mom had other experiences, obviously. But, But that's the only one that I knew of that Grandma was kind of semi-involved, you know. So.
Well, have you had any experiences with, like, precognition?
That's knowing what's going to happen before it happens.
Dreams that come true or visions
mm-hmm.
or clairvoyance.
Yeah.
Or
I don't know that I've ever had any visions. It's just an impression I get now and then. One time I knew somebody was trying to call us, and Mom was on the phone yakking and wouldn't get off, you know. And sure enough, find out later, you know, they had tried to call and couldn't get through, you know. And, of course, I couldn't get her to believe me. And I was like, well, hang up. Somebody's trying to call, you know. recently, well, this involved the phone, too. And I don't know if there's something about the fact that it's electronic, you know, that this is an electronic thing. You know, if that enhances anything, you know, or not, it might. But I knew I was going to get a kind of a solicitation call, you know. I was thinking, you know, what are they doing? I was thinking, I haven't thought about them in ages and ages, you know. And not 5 minutes later, they called, you know. And that was here recently. So I think I do have a little bit of that, you know.
Sounds like it.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's one reason that they're kind of interested in my family, you know, the female line as it is. I'm sure there are other reasons too, but I think that's got something to do with it, you know.
So
I have heard. Please.
Are you still having UFO stuff going on with you then?
No. My last experience was the one where we talked. That was in December of 2000. I've not had anything happen since then. At least not that I'm aware of. I don't believe I have any missing time or anything at this point. So, with being 48, you know, they're not quite as interested in me as they used to be, you know. I'm sure they have plenty of DNA in their little test tubes by now. You know, well, why they'd want a body like this, I don't know, but, you know.
I interviewed a lady not too long ago, and she's mm-hmm. 67 or 68 and
uh-huh.
still having all sorts of experiences. She's like, why won't they just leave me alone?
You know, about that. Yeah. Yeah, because they couldn't possibly want your DNA at that point. So.
That's what she says. She doesn't understand it. And honestly, I don't either, but who knows?
How about that? Yeah, you know, I had not heard that. So, because I'm certain they know where I am. So.
Right.
Better things to do, I suppose.
Well, I think there is some connection, you know. I don't know
mm-hmm.
what it is, but like I said in the beginning of the show, there is something there. I just
mm-hmm. I have heard it speculated about that people who are experiencers have they respond very well to post-hypnotic suggestions and so on. So thinking, well, that would certainly be useful in their line of work. So, you know, so maybe there's something, maybe the sensitivity and so on, you know, goes hand in hand with that or something.
Right. Which would make sense, I think, actually.
Yeah, you know. So, because I had not thought of that before, but somebody was speculating about that. I don't know if I read it or saw it on a program or what, because, of course, I have Buku books and so on all this, you know. And, so it's possible that I read it somewhere. But
right.
Let's see. Well, what would you like to hear about now?
Well, let me see. We've only got a couple of minutes left, actually.
Oh, my. Have we been yakking that long? My goodness.
Yeah.
Time flies when you're having fun, isn't it? So, well, let's see. Maybe I can come up with a really short story or something here. I can tell you about another one of Mom's stories real quick. She had a friend over. Let's see. She would have been about 10 or 11 at this time when this happened. And let's see. She was born in 1933, so this would have been 43 or 44. And she had a friend over for a sleepover, you know, how kids do. And in the morning, she came into the bedroom, and her friend said, "Where have you been?" She hadn't been to bed that night. She had been gone somewhere the entire night.
She thought she was in bed?
I'm not sure she knew where she had been, you know, but she knew she hadn't been in bed. because her friend said, where have you been? You know, you haven't been in bed all night, you know. And she said the only thing she could remember is going out back behind the house. And, of course, this was kind of a rural area there in southwest Missouri, a little town called Alba. And that's where they lived. And I think there was a cornfield or a wheat field or something back there, some kind of a field anyway. She said that's about, you know, all she remembers. But she's pretty sure something must have set down in the field and she was with them all night, you know. So so how does that grab you?
That's weird. Makes you wonder what they're doing. All right, everyone. Well, we're pretty much out of time, so I'm going to wrap up the show. And I want to thank you so much for being on the show. Very, very interesting stories.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, I'm going to call you back soon because I want to talk to you
Alrighty.
A little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a few more stories from, well, from Mom's time and then, you know, quite a bit of my own and other things.
Yes, well, I'll have to have you back on the show again, too, one of these days. All right. Well, everyone, that is our show for tonight. I hope you've enjoyed it. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight has been Ann Witherspoon. I hope you've enjoyed the show as much as I have and that you can join us again next week at this time. Until then, have a wonderful evening and a great week. Bye now.